And if I can have two men help me, that would be nice. Somewhere in here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. All right, if you have a pen, I'm going to have you write something in the notes before we stand up. And if you do what I ask, the lights will come on at the end of the sermon for the first time in the whole evening. Okay, so take your notes and turn to the back side right lower corner. There's not space for this, but you see the bottom has some empty space. You know, it's not notes. I just want you to write three dates down, okay? Not hard. 1, 2, 3. And you say, what are the dates for? I promise you, by the time the sermon ends, some of you, the lights will come on your head. You will go, what? All right? Here's the first date. Are you ready? 606 BC. Just write that down. 606 BC. Second date. 598 B.C. Got that? These should be familiar dates to you. Your dating might be slightly different. 605 and 597. We're not going to debate that. The third date, are you ready? 586 B.C. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you discussing? Everybody look at me. Singleness. Look at me. Singleness. But there's not a person in this room that has any idea what I'm talking about. When we get to the end, click, you'll figure out something. Okay? Let's stand. No, I'm not going to read much of the Bible on it. It'll just make sense to you. Tonight, we have 30 minutes. It will be done in less than 30 minutes. I think next Sunday morning, I'm going to do the unthinkable. And I'm actually going to deal with this because here's our problem. People aren't always here at various service, more here Sunday morning. I might address something that I've been thinking about for the last 6 months on the whole issue of preparation for marriage. Because I want to say this. Do you ever look at people that get married and want to ask a question? Why are you getting married? Here it is, the little bobble-headed blonde. The guy, you already know what the guy wants. By the way, 2 years later in the marriage, how are they doing? So I really want to ask them, why did you get married? It's almost like, well, I just said something highly offensive about blonde, bobble-headed people. Forgive me. I do not have prejudice against blondes. Some blondes I like. Carly. Of course, Carly knows I like Carly. My wife. My wife has been blonde for a long time, buddy. Have you been smoking again? All right. We better read the text. Let's read the text, please. 1 Corinthians 7. Well, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Everybody remember what 1 Corinthians 7 is from Sunday school. Paul is doing what? Answering questions. Now concerning the things, yes, whereof you wrote unto me. So starting in verse 1 through chapter 16, Paul answers questions that they had. Part of the problem is sometimes you're not sure exactly what the question was. Chapter 7 has, look up here, two of those questions. Two. You'll see the next one. Chapter 8 begins a question that goes all the way to chapter 10, and then you get another, you know, so you just a series of questions, okay? Now, verse 6 through 9. But, he says, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. In this particular text, Paul is simply saying this, I am not making a command that everybody is single. But the Lord does allow me to address this subject. Verse 7. He says, for I would, or I wish, or I desire. And of course, what he's saying is impossible for many reasons. He says, I would that all men were even as I myself. But, every man or every woman hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that. So you have to cut through the mud and realize not everybody is really capable of being single like Paul. Verse 8. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. By the way, the language is so important. It's not Roman Catholicism and foolishness of it's more sacred and holy to be single. He simply says it's good to be single. It's not a bad thing. But if they cannot control themselves, and he says, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And I think this is not real deep. It's not talking about going to hell. It's talking about being consumed with the whole prospect of I'm just consumed with it. Listen, I have met people so consumed with marriage that it's like they would marry the doorknob if the doorknob would say yes. You should learn to get self-control. That's kind of what you teach kids. So this is Paul's introduction, verse 25. Are you guys ready? Second question. And it's a much more difficult text. It's very difficult from here on. He says, now concerning, that's how it's introduced, peri-dei in Greek. Now concerning, another question, virgins. And it really gets confusing. Is he talking about if you're single or if you have a daughter or son that's single? It's hard to know. But he says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. The Lord didn't discuss this. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. He says, I suppose, therefore, that this is, what's that word? Good for the present distress, I say. That it is good for a man or a woman so to be. Are thou bound unto a wife? What should you do? Seek not to be loose. Are you married? Don't seek to get divorced. Are you loose from a wife? Meaning, have you been divorced? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. So it's not wrong to get married. It's fine to get married. It's biblical, true, right. He says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, and by the way, I will not preach on all this. This gets deep, friends. Some of the hardest passages in the Bible is the next lines. You know, I'm going to say this to everybody. We have couples come here that want to be missionaries. I'm a simple guy. You know how simple I am? First thing I do is count their children. They got 9 children. What's the chances of them going to the mission field? There's things that American Christians are just stupid. You can't do everything. You say, well, I know a couple. Yes, and for every couple you know, I know 50 that failed. To be a missionary requires some things. Frankly, in many cases, it'd probably be better to be single. But in many countries, that's not wise because of the way they look at you. I mean, going overseas and you got 9 kids, how much money, if you went to Japan, you want to be a missionary to Japan with 9 children. Your support level would have to be in excess of $100,000 a year. How many churches are you going to have to go to raise it? You got my point? No, I'm all for children. I'm all for marriage. But we have to realize life is life too. All right, we continue. He goes on to say, but this I say, brethren, verse 29, the time is short. it remaineth that both they that have wives, be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy though, as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. You know, he just simply says you got to live in the reality that God put you in. We'll come back to that later. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Obviously, friend, if you have no wife and no children, you can simply focus on the moment you add something. It's not bad, but the moment you add things to the mix, it gets a little bit more complex. Yeah, that's all he's saying. Verse 33, but he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, not world and worldly, but just simply the natural things, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married, by necessity, by the way, careth for the things of the world, not in a worldly sense. You've got to do the normal stuff then, how she may please her husband. In this I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare. I'm not trying to trap you, but for that which is comely or that which is appropriate, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. All right, for time, verse 39. You all get the opinion. Look up here. He's addressing two issues. Should you be single? And then he says, all right, what if you're single or you have someone in your family that's single? That's all we're going to discuss. And by the way, you got to deal with this no matter what. I can say this. The biggest question I ask people is this question. Why do you want to get married? Why now? So you're an airhead. And you're lonely because you're an airhead. You don't have a life. You know what I would like to tell every young person in the world? Get a life. Get some things you're passionate about. Get a skill set. Get knowledge. Have something to offer. And that way, when you meet somebody, you can talk about them to more than, oh, you're so pretty. Really? That's it? I love you. Have you heard people talk? It's like, oh, Lord, deliver me from all stupidity. Verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. I don't choose people's spouses. By the way, I got out of that game forever ago. I think I might even tell you why I did later, maybe. I got out of the game of ever choosing anybody's spouse, ever. You say why? It's not a wise move. Verse 40, but he says, she's happier if she so abide. After my judgment, meaning I think she'd probably be happier in most cases if she just stay single. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So we're going to talk about Paul in singleness. We will not discuss every line, but we will discuss these. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I don't have time, I'm not going to tell that story. Let's begin in your notes. Four facts. You all ready for the facts? Were you here last Sunday? You already know the facts, don't you? What's the first fact? Jesus and Paul were? So that's where we begin. Any discussion of marriage and singleness, you're telling me that the Apostle Paul wasn't married and you think not being married makes you weird? Hello? Hello? Jesus wasn't married? You think not being married? By the way, John the Baptist wasn't married? Lots of folks weren't married. So we need to get over the marriage culture that we have developed in churches where everybody needs to be married by the time they're 18. Number two. All of us start single. Steve Tupper told me something that I did not know. His mother, I think he told me, you might know exactly, was his mother was married 24 years. Does that sound about right? No. They were married 24 years because she got married at over 40. And then George died. That was like 2000 or something. 90, I mean, it was a lot. My point is what? Steve actually listened to last Sunday night because
when I say everybody starts single, number three, let's get to the third one. Some, maybe many, will end single. Do you understand? So Steve's point was this. His mother didn't get married till she was 40-ish. She was married only a short time because her husband, a great guy, one of my favorite guys, died, George. And then she was single another. And here we are. What do you say, Tom? Yes. Most of her life she was single. Vast majority. My mother-in-law, how many years? Almost 75 plus years your mother was single. How long? She was single 81 years. Because she married at 23 and she was widowed at a very young age. Never remarried. Do you understand? Most of us, friend, all of this talk about single and married, sometimes we're kind of foolish. We all start single. It's okay to be single because if Jesus is okay with him, I think it's okay for you. And most of us, or many of us, now it would be nice, as I said last Sunday night, if your name was Budol. And I think you might be right. The Budols might have both like died the same day or the same week. Within a few hours. But friends, that never happens. So here are the four. You got the facts? Number one, Jesus and Paul were single. Number two, all of us start single. Number three, many of us will end single. And number four, how many of us will be single in eternity? So, you know, and here's our discussion. And then, of course, Paul also has a wish. And the wish, I believe, is not facetious, because Paul knows it's impossible. But Paul wished or desired that all would be single like Paul was single, because he realized the advantages. Now, friends, if you have everybody single in your church, that means you don't have any children, and after a while, there's no people left, okay? That's an impossibility. But in general, Paul just wants to commend being single. Well, we're going to buzz through this. Everyone, I'm going to come back to those dates at the end. Let's go through what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 6, please. Let's see if you can figure out the first point. He says, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. But I would that all men were even as myself, but every man has his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is," what does it say? Yeah, the word kalos. It's good for them if they abide even as I. 26. "I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is," just in case you didn't get it the first two times, "it is good for a man so to be." So what's my first point? Singleness is what? Are you sure it's good? Are you sure it's good? Is this what you teach? Or when your daughter all of a sudden was, you know, she's 22 and you start thinking, man, she's going to be an old woman. The world's going to end. In your notes, just real quickly, we must have this idea. Singleness is not better. It's important that you know that. Singleness is not better. Next, singleness is not worse. It's neither one. And in our circles, by the way, friends, straightforward. In our circles, at Lake County Baptist, when I came here in the 70s, being single was a worse state. It was not cool. Ron Hill, no angst towards Ron Hill. He was a marrying guy. He wanted everybody to get married. He wanted to, you know, push you in. He wasn't mean or abusive, but he liked people getting married. For me, if I see you single, I'm fine. I'd rather you be single and reasonably happy than married and miserable. And I've seen plenty of people get married and are miserable, especially when they just have to get married. So, singleness is not better. It's not worse. It's good. Number two. Obviously, this is Pastor Warren's logic. Singleness is not good for everyone. There are people in this church that would not do well single for one whole day. You say, would you, Pastor Warren, could you survive single? I'm going to say this to you. I used to be able to. I used to know how to do laundry. You know, not only does the bathroom downstairs clean itself, the laundry cleans itself. When I was in the Navy, I could do all of that stuff. I am pretty much incompetent at this stage of life. Can I have an amen from any of the men here? I don't know what happens. I used not to be. But let's be real. Singleness is not good for everyone. And by the way, no place in the Bible does it say we need to have this group of just the special ones, the nuns and all of this, and they are all holy, and they live off in a monastery or a nunnery, and they're giving the... That's all foolishness that has nothing to do with the Scripture. Singleness is not good for everybody. Number three, this comes from the text also. Singleness is only good if you are so gifted. And I think that's important to know. If you are so gifted, as he says, read with me the verses. He says, I would, or I desire or wish, that all, not men like males, but people, or even as myself, but, strong but, by the way, Allah, but every man hath his proper gift of God. On the one hand, after this manner. It's the men-day contrast. On the one hand and on the other hand, he's contrasting. There's two different groups. Some people have a gift and they can be single, and some people have a gift to be married, and we all know that. He goes on to say, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. So if you're not a person so gifted, it's not good for you. It's better to marry, better, not best, but better, to marry than to burn. And where is my water? Secondhand smoke from Jamie Lowry is starting to bother me. Ah, thank you. In your notes, how would we know if we're so gifted? I'm going to give you some ideas. I think this is a hard question. So look at me, friend. We have people in this room and in our church that are not married. Some of them wouldn't mind being married. I think that might be the issue right there. Look at me. If you say, I wouldn't mind being married, you probably have the gift to either be or not to be. It bothers me when I meet people that's got to be married, and they got to be married yesterday. Young ladies, if you have to be married yesterday, trust me, you'll find a guy. Vice versa. I prefer people to say, but I think there are people who say, yeah, I'd like to be married, but... In your notes, I think this is what I think. It's not in the text, it's kind of my deductions. How would we know if we're so gifted? Well, first of all, we would probably recognize the gift, meaning we would recognize that it doesn't consume us. I would say, secondly, others would recognize the gift, or they would recognize you don't have the real ability to be married. You know, there's people that should be single, cantankerous, etc. There are people that just, and there's other folks who, for whatever reason, never marry. I don't know why. Thirdly, we would be able to maintain self-control. One of the things that Paul's talking about here is you need to be able to contain yourself, control yourself. If you cannot maintain any kind of self-control, then we got a problem. And lastly, marriage plus, I don't need to get into the details, you're adults, mostly. Marriage wouldn't consume you. It wouldn't be a burning passion. I've got to get married. Now, as I have taught over the last few weeks, and I will teach the rest of my life as long as I have a mind, I say this. Remember, this might be from A to B, meaning you might be single and say, I want to get married, but I don't know, and haven't run into the right person, right time, right place, etc. So you might be single from age 18, and all of a sudden at age 50, you find a person, friends. I said last week, I say again, in my church in St. Louis, there were two marriages that stood above everybody else. There wasn't a matter of prayer. It wasn't a matter of ego. There were two marriages, Steve Schmidt and his wife. Steve's just a wonderful guy. And the other marriage was Hazel and Ray Brown. And Hazel and Ray Brown... By the way, for all of Jim, it would have been nice if you'd have met Ray. Ray, boy, he made a dumb move. 1943, he'd had a couple bad years of farming in Arkansas, northern Arkansas. And he said, you know, the farming's not working out. There's jobs because of the war in St. Louis. Ray wasn't thinking. He sold his farm, which gave him an out. He was 28 years old or 27. He moved to St. Louis, and Uncle Sam invited him into the U.S. Army. And Ray Brown was over, 105 days, front line, the Battle of the Bulge. Small little battle, you probably never heard of it.
Great guy. Ray was married, had three children, I think. Something like that. Wonderful family. Fact is, his son, which is much older than us, goes to the assistant pastor in St. Louis's church now. Ray Brown, I mean, unbelievable. He said, Kirk said to me, guy walked in and I said, man, he looks familiar, but I don't know him. He says he acts, he talks familiar. He got talking to him, he realized it was Ray Brown's son. Ray Brown's wife in the 1960s had heart problems. In the 1960s, surgery on your heart was like taking an axe. She had like a surgery or two in the 60s, one or two in the early 70s, and she died. Ray was 60 years old. He said to me one time, he just said to me, just he was a simple guy in many ways, faithful guy. 37 years he worked a job. He was late one time. He called off one time. It was the same day he got snowed in, and a train got stuck on the track. He couldn't get to work. He missed one day of work. You don't meet those kind of guys, 37 years. He was just faithful. He said, God has given me two wonderful wives. His first wife died of heart disease, and when he was 60, he met a woman that had never been married that was 50, named Hazel. And I said this is no joke. They were like teenagers. You almost had to separate them. And she lived, and they were married 20 years. And unfortunately, the year I came here, she suddenly died of cancer. She died at 70. He was 80. He lived to be 90. He wanted to marry the third time. I'll tell you one thing. He was a pretty good... By the way, when I say single, I don't mean single all your life. I think there's many people it was okay if you don't rush off into marriage. The Lord might bring somebody into your life, or maybe not. It's not that important in that sense. So marriage... It might be, this might be true from point A to point B, you know, whatever that is. It's not necessarily from birth to death that you have to be single. I think that's very important. All right. Y'all get the logic. Singleness, to say it with me, is what? It's good. It's not better. It's not. Say it. It's not worse. Singleness is good, is not good for everybody. Singleness is only good if you are so gifted. Number four, singleness is especially good for certain circumstances, situations, and periods of time. Everyone look at me. We had a young man sat right back over here this morning. His name is Satish. Have you met him? Should the thought of marriage ever come into his head? Not Satish, Srajit, the son. He's in medical school. You don't have time to be thinking about marriage. But here's our problem. Lower class people don't do a lot of thinking. Therefore, they don't go very far in life because the first thing they got to do is hook up. He already knows. By the way, I don't think the thought of marriage has ever crossed his mind because he already knows. I got to go through 4 years of medical school and then I got to go into, 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and then I got to go 3 to 5 years of residency. He's going to start thinking about marriage someplace in his residency. Actually, he's not going to. His parents are. But that's another story. Can I say this to you? What's wrong with us? Why do we have people that think I have to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? You don't even know your name. But you got to be married. Get over this stuff. Friends, next Sunday, I think Sunday morning I'm going to preach on this. It's just practical stuff. It makes sense to me. He goes on to say, just read the highlighted portions, verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man to be. Verse 28 says, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. He's not saying it's wrong to get married. But in his day and in his circumstances, there were difficulties. He was being persecuted. He said, you know, it'd probably be okay to be single for a while. Verse 29 says, the time is short. Next page, please. He says in verse 32, I would have you to be without carefulness. So let me give you some thoughts on this. Real simple thoughts. Time, circumstances, and situation. I said this to a young lady seated here tonight. I'm not giving away any state secrets. I would say the same thing to the same people every place on my life because life is simple, not complex. I would say this. Let me see. I think her name is Kim. Kim, did I say this to you?
something to this effect in your notes, till college is finished. Why would you think about marriage? By the way, you say, but my great-great-great-grandmother got married. I don't care about your great-grandmother. My grandmother got married at 14. Here was what was necessary to be married when a country girl got married. Number one, she had to be a woman. I won't go any further. And number two, she had to be able to do all the things that women had to do, which were things like sewing, cooking, cleaning, fixing, all of that. And my grandmother could do that stuff in her sleep. She probably died with a hoop in her lap. You never saw my grandmother not sewing. Her mother, my great-grandmother, got married at 14. Do I recommend you get married at 14? What planet are you living on? Today you need to have some sort of a skill set. I get tired of looking out here at bobble-headed girls usually that think some guy is just thinking, oh my goodness, she's so pretty, how am I going to live without her? Do you understand the moment you have to talk to each other, what are you going to talk about? Finish college. I think in your case, Kim, I think I said something like, you need to get your nursing degree first. Is that about right? I don't care about your boyfriends. Your dad has many guns, and if he doesn't, other uncles have guns. That's not an issue. Is that correct? And Bali Song, too. He probably has more than that in your notes. Or, I don't care what the title is, till training is completed. Meaning you don't have to go to college. You know, I'm all for, and I'm actually at this stage of my life, most of you know this, I think a lot of young males need to drop out of the college game altogether and actually get a real job. You know, going to college and getting a degree in business, and then you work at Walmart, do me a favor, get a degree in electrical, plumbing, get some training. You'll make more money, and actually you'll do something that's more interesting than sitting around, look, you know, you're the person that hates business, and you're at the bottom, and you get over that. So, do this. College, training, next, till a career is more or less established. I'm going to ask everybody a question. My grandmother and great-grandmother were both married at 14. Look at me, please, guys. How old were their husbands? 14? They were 5-6 years older. Why? Because they had to have a farm ready. You see, we're missing the whole point. Yeah, they got married earlier, but it wasn't that they were just yahoos. These were people that you had to, grandpa and great-grandpa both were men that had small farms ready to go. So when they got married, they were a little older than their wives, which wasn't always good because great-grandpa died 30 years before great-grandma. But they were older. They got married to their wives. They started having children. My grandmother had 4 kids before she was 20. Part of that was she wanted to have a small, 12 kids. That was her goal. All right. So, till college is finished, some sort of training. I don't care the kind of training. There's lots of kinds of training that is very, in America, is very good. Till a career is more or less established. In your notes, this is kind of obvious too. If this is you, which is in our church. By the way, we have people in our church that are here. Not until one, that's misspelled, sorry. Not until one is far into graduate or postgraduate studies. If you have to go the direction of graduate or postgraduate studies, marriage should not be on your mind until you're deep into that. Next, never until we have worked through our own issues. Our own issues. Everyone look at me. Did I give you 3 dates? Yes or no? Yes or no? I want you to see for the first time in your life, look at me, your grandpappy, great-grandpappy didn't teach you this. I want you to see from the Bible people that grew up in highly messed up circumstances and their relationship to marriage. I do not want you to philosophize. I want you to see from the Bible. 606 BC. You got it in your notes? Yes or no? Write down a person's name. Are you ready? Are you writing? I'm watching. Daniel. Was Daniel married? Yes or no? Actually, didn't have a choice. 598 BC. By the way, the children of Israel were carried into captivity three times. The first time was Daniel and what we would call the upper class, the nobility. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Or if you want to use their pagan names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I prefer their believing names. Those men were carried away. By the way, they never married. They were not able to marry. But see, you're missing the point. Paul says in certain situations, it's better not to marry. But you won't see it until you see it. All right, 598 was the second captivity. The middle class was carried away into Babylon, and a young man showed up on the river, probably more like some kind of thing off the Euphrates called Chabar. His name was Ezekiel. You ever heard of him? Then in 586, the city was totally destroyed, and the only people left were the poorest of the poor and a fragment of other people, and there was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Was Daniel married? Yes or no? Well, how about Ezekiel? How about Jeremiah? Glad you asked. Jeremiah 16. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons and daughters in this place. Is that God's normal command? But look at me, friend. Look up here. All Paul does in 1 Corinthians 7, he actually has read the Bible. He knows there's times it's not wise to get married. Well, God commands Jeremiah, verse 3. The little word far is giving you the explanation. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place and concerning their mothers that bear them and concerning their fathers that begat them in the land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented. No one will mourn. Neither shall they be buried. But they shall be as refuse, excrement, dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine. And their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor to bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even the loving kindness and mercies. I'll let you read the rest. Everyone look at me. Look up here. Three people. 606, Daniel was never had the option of being married. Jeremiah, God commanded directly, never marry. Why? The circumstances. So, a few years back, we always have kids throughout this place that get married, you know, 5 minutes after school. Why? Because, look at me, the guy's bored and, look at me, bored and boring. And the girl's bored and boring. And, of course, we all know two boring people really make a good marriage. And they're married at 18 or 19 and everybody's praying that they survive. What are they going to talk about? Now, does it work? Sometimes people survive. What a mess. All right, now we come to the middle guy. You ever heard of him? Named Ezekiel. Thank you. Verse 15 of Ezekiel. By the way, this is a hard text to read. The word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, son of man, behold, I have taken from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. His wife, yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head, meaning whatever they put on their head, upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. In this unbelievable passage, he says, so I spake unto the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded, and I didn't mourn. Why would God tell him that? Verse 19. And the people said unto me, Will thou not tell us what these things are to us that thou doest so? He answered, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, speak unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord thy God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength. I'm going to have the temple destroyed. The desire of your eyes is the temple, just like my wife's was mine. And that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips. Look at me, friend, in mourning. Nor eat the bread of men. And your tires shall, meaning your, you know, how they wrap their heads shall be on your heads. Your shoes shall be on your feet. And you shall not mourn nor weep. But you shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done shall you do. And when this cometh, you shall know that I am the Lord. So I want to ask you a question. When Paul says there are times you shouldn't get married, do you have three absolute living signs of people either not being married or even when his wife died, not mourning? Why? The destruction of Israel, the destruction of the temple. I'm a little late. I'm going to close with this story. You were there. I think you will remember. We were pastoring in St. Louis, and I went to visit my home pastor. By the way, what do you talk to your kids about? Oh, you're 18. You're young and stupid. Go get married. Talking to the pastor I grew up with, Pastor Varble, Francis Varble. I wouldn't have not called him Francis. I wouldn't even have thought of calling him that in live. Pastor Varble and his wife, Mrs. Varble, generation older than my parents, they had planned a special marriage. I'm going to guess around Christmas or something. They had it all planned. They had planned it for several years. They were in love. He had a decent job. They were ready to get married. I think they were both over 20 at the time. They might have even been older than my dad's parents, a little bit. Something intervened. Do you remember them telling you this? So, Amber, they planned on getting married, and they were in love. They planned on getting married, are you listening, Amber? In the late fall or around Christmas of 1929. Amber, what might have intervened? And how did that affect them? Everybody that he knew lost their job. And he realized, I can't take care of my wife. By the way, were they in love? Yes. They were still in love when they got married 5 years later. But he said, I can't marry her because I can't take care of her. We're the opposite today. Oh, yeah, get married. It'll work out somehow. No, it won't. By the way, friends, singleness is good. It's not good for everybody. It's good if you're so gifted. It's very good in certain circumstances. Can we do this? Give everybody a breather. Quit pairing off, getting married when we're 18 because we're in love. I want to say this, and I mean this. If you're in love at 18, you'll still be in love at 23 or 4. Hello? Yes or no? So, Kim, you know I like you. Don't like your dad, but I like you, right? You're in love? Don't answer that question. Because your dad's already thinking where that gun is, so let's not do that. You're in love? Okay, I'm serious. Fine. You'll still be in love when you graduate with your degree. Yes or no? I think we're playing game. By the way, we're following Hollywood more than the Bible. Drop that foolishness. Singleness is good. It's not good for everybody. It's good if you're so gifted. It's especially good for certain periods of time. So, guys, you want to accomplish something? Do me a favor. Accomplish it and then look for a wife. Then you'll actually have a job. You could probably take care of her. You could probably have something to talk about more than, oh, shut up. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.